Yo, what up, chat? I am here with Isaac Turner from Lotus Kendamas, dude. He has been on the grind this last year, killing with your tricks, growing your company, starting Kendamanomics. And it's you were at the top of my list of people to interview. I've done a few this year, and I've been talking to a lot of old legends, but you're a dude I feel like who has some new inspiration and still a story that I don't know completely, I don't think, because I know I know when you started selling at NACO and stuff like that, but I don't know your full story. So I would love to start with like the beginning, you know, of Isaac before he was Lotus. Like, what were your inspirations? Who were your inspirations? How did you find Kendama? And like, you know, what drove you to pursue it, you know?
Yeah, for sure, bro. Thanks for having me on. I found Kendama in 2015. I was a senior in college. My roommate had found Kendama, and he had one in his drawer. He found it from his high school in Pittsburgh. He went to school with Colin Sanders at Yard Today. To react like you just heard that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No way, dude. That's so crazy. So crazy. Yeah. Those connections are insane.
had one in his drawer. And then when I saw it, I was immediately like, oh, this is so sick. I just knew I was going to like it, wanted to do a bunch of tricks on it. So I started with like, you know, big cups and birds, and I played him in Canada. He beat me. But then I went home, got two Kendamas for Christmas, like really old ones. I don't know exactly which ones they were, but.
So you don't remember your first Kendama?
I mean, it was like an all blue, maybe Kaizen or Zora. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue tribute, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Did it have a hole through the cup? Do you remember? Yep. Was there? Okay, so yeah, it was for sure a blue tribute.
Yeah, definitely hit like a triple earth turn, just like hucking it up.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. Dude, ever since that day, like I immediately just started grinding Dama. Went back from Christmas with my Kendama after practicing it, you know, and I was like 21 at this time. But
oh, word.
A little older than most people.
That's when I started.
Yeah. Okay. True.
I was 21. Yeah.
Sick. Yeah. So, I started with like kind of a more of a grown up mindset, like, you know what I mean? Rather than having this like from a sixth grade buddy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that kind of influenced my thoughts for Kendama. But yeah, so I was grinding Kendama for like 4 years, playing every day, leveling up. I was really like down to grind. I wanted to get better and better.
Did you go to NACO in 2016?
No, I wasn't really part of the community for a few years. I just was kind of grinding at home. And then I think 2018, 2019 is when I like started following a lot of people on Instagram, started posting a few tricks on Instagram. And then my first event was actually, I was at Down in the D and then that 2019. And then
that was your first one in 2019?
Yeah.
So before then, that, were you, sorry, I want to back up just a smidge. So did you have friends that were playing, or were you by yourself watching YouTube videos like a lot of people? Or were you even watching YouTube videos? Were you just grinding?
No, I was like kind of on Instagram, like following the community.
Okay.
Like following Dwesty and the Gallaghers and stuff. And just, you know, like by 2018, 2019, I was like following everybody who was in the community. I wasn't posting that much, but yeah, I never had played with anybody in person. Like,
oh. Crazy. Yeah,
I'm home just grinding by myself.
So you never convinced a friend or anyone to be like, you should get one too. They were always like, oh, there's Isaac with his Kendama.
Yeah. It was honestly mostly my family because, yeah, I guess like I had gotten a job after college and I kind of like slowly introduced it to them because I couldn't help it. But then they're like, oh yeah, this, you know, my friends still get Kendama, you know, whatever. Like mispronouncing it and everything. But that, I guess that's kind of where it was. And then, I didn't really have any friends to sesh with. My brother has actually got really good at recently.
Oh, cool.
He's hitting a bunch of juggles and like light flips and stuff. But
how old is your brother?
Either. He's 22 now. So at the time when I got my first one, he was like 17.
Oh, wow. Cool. So he's finding it at the age you did, kind of like finding the value in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I brought him to like a battle. All right, he was at an NKO a few years ago too. So, and then he started, grinding hard.
Uh-huh. That's really cool. And so 2019, so you were just playing Kendama and you were having fun with it. And what was the switch in your head that was like, well, if 2019 was your first event, you vended at your first event? Like you didn't just, you didn't even just go to an event and be like, oh, this is cool. Maybe I'll start a company. You were like, no, here, I'm just going to go as a company. Like what tell me the process. How did you get from Dude Who Loves Kendama to I'm going to go to NACO and have a booth, you know?
Yeah. So I it was probably after Dama and the D. That summer, I didn't know if I was going to like try to get sponsored by a company. I'm not sure if I was going to go that route, but I kind of just wanted to make my own shape and my own design. And I was like pretty entrepreneurial, like you are. Like I studied entrepreneurship in college, and then I kind of realized, okay, well, let me just try it myself. You know, like I didn't necessarily go into Kendama like a lot of people trying to make money, because you know how it's actually tough. It's not like it's a selling like
not know, a stock. Bunch there just waiting for you to scoop up. Yeah,
I think I just kind of want to try it out. And
what made you? So it was more about designing your own shape, because this is where I'm always curious as a person who's been doing it forever. Like, what makes you not reach out to another company who's already doing it, or like? You know what I'm saying? What made you go like, were there no shapes that you liked? Like, were you like, oh, there's something missing in the shape game that you didn't want to reach out to someone to like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure what I'm asking, but you're not the first. You're one of many people who feel this need to like design, and maybe it's entrepreneurship, but did you feel it was because there wasn't a shape that you thought you needed, or?
Yeah, I think not only shape, but I think I felt like there was just stuff missing in the community that I wanted, like between a shape that was bigger, that, you know, if that was a big, like for my big hand, like I was one of the first to have like a really, really big cup in 2019. I know there was like this Lay Dog that made it like kind of like way bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, let's push it bigger. And then that's also when the 1UP came, which was like a similar size. Like 1UP was really big at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like design wise, I my mom's an artist. I was like kind of inspired by some more aesthetic designs, like more nature based.
Yeah.
So that's where kind of Lotus came from and the first Sacred. But yeah, I think there was probably like, I think if there was a company that kind of fit my unique like desires, then yeah, I probably would have gone. But I don't know. I think I maybe always just wanted to do my own thing, and I felt like I could really support the community with a unique avenue in a unique look on Kendama.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's sick. And so I cut you off where you're saying you went to school for entrepreneurship, like, and you went to school at Ohio?
Yeah, I went to school at John Carroll in Cleveland. I minored in entrepreneurship, and then I like majored in communication. I was never big at school, but
yeah, same. Majored in communications as well. It sounds like we have a similar story, my dude. That's actually insane, because school was a means to like do other things and connect with people and to like, do you feel that entrepreneur minor like helped you? Like, have you utilized things that you learned, or have you felt there's been more learn on the go?
I don't really want to make like a really broad statement to say that college isn't worth it, but I'm definitely going down that route of like, no, they didn't. Like,
yeah.
But what I learned, like I met some cool teachers I haven't reached out to. I learned some finance things that I maybe like helped me, but college I think taught me a bunch of valuable things, but I don't think necessarily classes did.
Yeah. Agreed. So, I always said I learned a lot about a lot, and like in communications, you learn a lot about a lot of things, and in communications you mainly like meet a lot of people and you interact with a lot of humans and get public speaking and do a lot of things like that help you along the way, I think, for sure. But yeah, I would agree. But also, we're in an industry that is not, like, it's new. You know what I mean? There isn't a roadmap to how to create a good Kendama company. I mean, there's a 14-year map that's much bigger than when you started or when I started. But it's still something I think every day changes. And
I mean, crazy. I learned just trying it myself and doing it myself and looking things up. And then, you know, running social media, seeing what works best. That's where you get personal experience and you learn a lot, you know.
So let's go back to 2019. You had to have learned a lot vending for the first time. I mean, I remember meeting you and being like, who is this dude? Like, because you were in the auxiliary thing with other people who I met for the first time that time. Is I think Scarce was over there, and I don't even know, I can't remember that exact year, but I vividly remember you. Maybe Quill Kendama was like a new person, but there were a lot of new people. It was like the first NACO where I was like, what is going on? Who are all these new people? Yeah. And it's, you were in that crew and you made a splash. How do you remember how you did that year at NACO?
You know, I think I rode the hype train of just having a new shape and a new company.
Okay, cool.
Kind of like a big thing.
Did you have a pro at all at that point, or was it just you?
No, it was just me with like a, just a big shape. And yeah, I think people stop by. I have a pretty cool minimalistic social media page that was getting some hype, and people kind of in the community started following it. And they kind of got hyped about this new shape and the design, which is the sacred, Kanama that I released at the time. And so, yeah, I think I did pretty well, but I mean, that event overall was just like, I remember literally like getting emotional in the airport, leaving NIKO because of how happy I was to be in this community. Thanks to you hosting that event. So.
Dang, that's sick. That was one of the largest, dude, because that was we grew towards COVID and then it stopped the momentum. But that was one of the biggest ones we ever threw, not without a doubt.
I was still like so new. I didn't know any of the pros and like the more popular players, which mm-hmm. I was able to like lucky enough to like, you know, make a lot of friends now and kind of know a lot of the community. But at the time it was just so special because I just had my one friend, Ezra. Who I don't know if you remember ever Ezra Lapidus, not Ezra Katz. But he was helping me out. And then I met some people that weekend that I was session with. And yeah, that event was just incredible. It was an amazing event.
And you think that like that gave you, I mean, if you had any question about wanting to do this like for more of your life, that was kind of put to the side after that. It was like, okay, I'm gonna go at this harder, I'm gonna do this more. Is that kind of what came next?
I think so. I think, you know, a lot of these events, as a player, it really pushes me as a player. And then I kind of, when I'm at an event, I can kind of see like, okay, what's the community looking for as not being, you know, fulfilled. I mean, even just at this last battle I went to, like, I think for the most part, like it's nice to meet everybody, nice to see the companies, but then I just kind of get home and I'm like, okay, I want to learn this trick. And then they really stopped playing, you know, through my 8 years of starting Kanama. So I think events mostly inspire me to play more rather than like sell new product, but it's still really inspiring, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think as a full Dama person, as of October, you'll find that that is a thing that may change as your business grows, because it becomes more difficult to find time for Kendama. And I've like related to you super hard with your post today. I watched all your stories today, and I don't know if you've been watching my progression with Kendamanomics and stuff, but like after my legend edit with my most recent shape release, I felt like you did when you started recording whatever you did last year. You realize that time equals more tricks, period. Like it's practice equals success. And it, for some reason, there's a block. Like whatever block it is, however it gets there, somehow it gets there. And I don't, it's a trick or it's a mindset or something can help release it. And for me, it was the shape and the triple inward tray that like were these things that were in my head stopping me from doing new tricks. But in reality, it was just all in my head. But once I did it and Kendamanomics gave me like maybe goals that I didn't set for myself initially, I found these new like paths and these new goals and this new inspiration to like fight through the frustration. And like, cause I'm sweets rage. So it's hard for me to not just stop and like give up and like making time to stream just Kendama. Like that's a new thing I've done this year is I stream Kendama 3 hours a week now on the channel, just playing Dama because I feel like that's important. And I do the full Dama with Coop for, you know, a day a week. And we're playing a lot of Dama, filming a lot of tricks. And I have, after like a month, I have realized my legs don't hurt anymore and I'm able to do certain tricks a little easier, like I guess specifically Lunars at this point. But like to your point with taps, I think whatever trick you apply that force to, it's going to increase. Like the only answer is more practice, right? Like
100%. Yeah. It's awesome to see that you're progressing and playing more. I think that one of the hardest things to do in Kanama, as I've been, you know, I've been here for 8 years, obviously not as long as like some people like and you, but I realize that there's a lot of players that once they get a little bit of like recognition, maybe they start a company, maybe they get sponsored, maybe they go pro, maybe maybe they kind of are known for a set of tricks. One of the hardest things to do for that kind of player is to like take a step back and like be a beginner again and try something new. I mean, I had that problem. Like I was like really heavy seshing, like late flips and juggles. And when I wanted to post on Instagram, I didn't want to post anything. I didn't want to do a double stilt flip. Like that's, I'm not that level, but it's an ego thing. It's not true. Like I am that level. Mm-hmm. Right. And so then I think that kind of leads you down the path of not having as much fun because you're bringing like I was bringing an ego into it that I am like this level. I am this good. And then, and I kind of realized, yeah, it's really hard to take that step back and go a different avenue when you already have that recognition. Mm-hmm. And as a new player with no recognition, it's really easy to go all over the place. I think you got to keep your kind of mind in check because, yeah, you definitely, I mean, we both have seen players that go one way and then end up kind of stopping and then, or go the other way and don't let the recognition get to their head and then they still grind every trick.
Yeah.
Like Edwin's a good example. He's still playing, even though he's known to be one of the best players. He's still, I think, still learning new tricks, you know, triple stilt trays and still taking a step back and some things. But
yeah.
So it's cool that I think you can kind of like push through that and you're playing, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to do the kind of the same thing. I'm kind of doing the same thing now. Like I know taps is a big thing for me and I started in 2015. That's when it was really popular. But recently I mean, I'm just hitting, you know, stilt flips. I'm going for stilts now. And I kind of recognize that step back that I need to take if I really want to still enjoy Kendama and still improve myself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with everything you said, especially having a team of people for so long and just trying to inspire them and seeing who does and doesn't react to certain things. I mean, Christian Fraser is a good example of someone who's, you know, he himself motivates himself every year to try to be better and to try to learn something new. And like, he's one of the oldest players along with Austin, you know, who like Austin can do all the new gen tricks and he's been playing longer than all of us. Like, and it's all a mindset because you're exactly right. Pros get to a point where they think they're so good that they either can't do other things or I think most of the time it's not a want anymore, dude. Like, can you imagine, like, we can't imagine being the best in the world because we're not, but like, imagine someone who does that over and over, how eventually it has to just kind of be like, dude, I really don't care. Like getting over that has to be the hardest thing in the world. And I think the Gallaghers are, you know, the people who show that it's possible, but it's with a serious mental fortitude that goes, I'm going to take second or third over and over and over until I get that first, or I'm going to take first as many times as possible. And if I get second, it's okay. You know, like how people are just wired so different. And some people just go, I got the world championship later. My life is made. I don't in Kendama, I'll never be better. And that's all I'll do. And that's where they leave their mind with Kendama in whatever year that is. And it's not easy to like reinvigorate those type of people, even though they could probably be better than both of us in months if they just applied their skill, right? And that's the saddest part for me is knowing that those people exist in our world and they're not playing Kendama, they're doing adult things. And that sucks, you know?
Yeah, I think you get so much of a rush from... I think we all play for different reasons, but a big reason we play is to impress your friends and post a good trick and get people hype. That's an okay reason to play. And that's why a lot of people play. And the thing is if you become one of the best and people really look up to you as the best player and everything you post is more impressive and more impressive and every post is better than the last one, when are you ever going to like Kendama is this beautiful thing where there's just too many tricks. Cause guess what? Yeah. You have a juggle stalls and then somebody pinches the string.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, it's not going to go anywhere, you know? And then like 2 years later you have, what's his name from Britain? Who's just this, what's his name again? Jack Gillian.
Yeah.
This is like the new juggle when it comes to Kendama, like him doing all these loops. It's like, dude, you better get on that because if you don't and you were the best in 2019, in 2028, you're going to be the dude that didn't learn to juggle in 2015. You know what I mean? And
dude. It's right? Really, like, no, you're so, like, you're drawing all the similarities because everyone yeah. started. So when you started, it was taps and juggles already. So when you got into Kendama, it wasn't even Lunar anymore. Lunar was just a beginner trick you had to learn along the way. Like, my trick was Lunar. Like, Lunar was like, if you could do that, you were one of the nastiest people in the whole world. And now we're doing Quint Trey Lunars, right? Like, it's kind of like snowboarding. If you watch the X Games Big Air this last year, it seems like it's impossible for them to spin more, but dude just spun another 180 and did another flip somehow, you know, because we all just push each other so incredibly hard. It's insane. But Jack Gillian, it's funny because I asked him like these kind of questions too when I was hanging with him last year. And he was like, yeah, my first edit was Fringe Case. So like he got introduced to Kendama by Ben Harold most literally. And he didn't want to do anything else. Like, it wasn't a goal to land any other tricks except those. And that, but that progressed, that got him into Kendama to a point where he learned other things, you know? So it's so insane. But I had to learn Goon Pinch, and I like had is the wrong word. I want to, but like Kendamanomics now I've got to a point where like I'm to a hard grind. So I can't just do one trick for 3 hours. I have to like mix it up with other things on stream. And so I'm starting to tackle different like groups of tricks or single tricks that I haven't like really put any effort into, and like a Goon Pinch or something. But Cloud Bounce is one that I met 5 people this weekend just who are randomly in circles doing it in like they could do single, double, triple Cloud Bounces. Like, they're not just throwing it randomly. Like, they are timing it to a point where we're going to get Cloud Bounce to stilts and Cloud Bounce to whatever's pretty consistently. And I feel like that's a trick where I have to do it right now, or else I'm already behind. But if I start now, I shouldn't be too far behind, you know?
Yeah. I want to say one thing before. There's a few things I wanted to say, but first of all, I'm glad that like Nick just is posting pull-ups still when, or one turn, Nick just posted one turn tightrope when Chicken Video last year was triple tightrope. So it looks like, I'm really happy that Nick is kind of like taking a step back and then Zach just landed stunt like one turn step fast. And of course now he's like,
now he did single, double, triple or something, right? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I'm really happy to see the Gallagher's doing that.
Well, dude, I think it's your fault. Like, we keep talking about Kendamanomics, but like, we're going to officially here in a second. And I want to end with talking about that. But they told me specifically, like, I wouldn't have gone for a 6-barrel stilt if it wasn't on the stupid app. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the coolest part to me, that you gave people who thought there was no other tricks to land. And that's something that is very dope.
I'm really happy to hear that. I'm so glad it's being well received. I'm so glad that you're playing it and you're receiving it so well. Like, it's really, really cool. It's a really good, it's awesome for the community to see someone like you playing. And that was the vision in the beginning, was to just kind of give Dama Dares to everybody.
That's perfect.
And to have like a place where you can have a record of racing tricks, you know, because Instagram is a social media app. It's not a Kendama app, you know? So we used the social media app for Kendama, but I think there's ways to use the Kendama app for Kendama. It's not even, obviously it's not meant to replace Instagram in any way, but I think that, you know, when you put a trick out there, when you tell somebody to do a trick and you can get a point for it, I think Kendama players, like the way that we work, we're like, okay, let's do it. You know, let me go for it. And that's what we're seeing, you know, people doing it on the app.
Yeah. A certain amount of us for sure do it to that extent. I've had to convince a lot of people. And once they do it, they're like stoked they did. But they wouldn't have probably if I wasn't like, hey, it's not as like hard as you think it is. Or it's not like, you know, it's not like a one-to-one if you don't know, like even me, like it wasn't just one, like, oh, here's what it does. But once you get into it, it's like, it unlocks this potential, which is super cool. And I want to talk about that in a little bit, but I don't want to jump too far ahead because, you know, there was COVID and me and you threw an event online over COVID. That was really cool. And I was like, you know, taken aback that you reached out a little bit because we were doing it with all these people. And then you were like, yo, can I throw an event? And I was like, yes, of course. Like, why not? It's COVID. What else do we have to do? And to me, that was a super big moment for your company that like, you were able to show people that you were this dude doing this big thing and that you weren't just like a booth at NACO, you know, you were like, you were really putting yourself out there and, you know.
Remember how much I was freaking out? I went to the bathroom, I was freaking out. for doing that, dude. I was absolutely just
Being live was
dude. Yeah, I mean, I think I do a much. Yeah, we were live at UKC, and I was doing a much better job. But
yeah, you did.
I felt that nobody really maybe didn't know me, and it was all these social anxiety, subconscious thoughts that I was having. It was like so nerve-wracking. But it went.
I remember it going well, though. I remember it being fun and us having a good time.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did that. I know recently you moved to Europe. Are you in Europe or are you in America?
Yeah, I'm in Copenhagen. My wife is from there. So the last 4 years we've been living in DC and New York, and then we finally made the move over to Copenhagen.
Nice.
And we'll be here for a while. So
yeah. Do you like? So are you a European citizen yet, or are you still American citizen?
No, I got like the equivalent to a Danish green card, so I'm able to work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
Lotus is a Copenhagen company?
Yeah, it's based in the US still.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, because that's where we were shipping out of. And then I'm kind of like, working for Lotus, obviously. But
yeah.
And the Copenhagen, I mean, it's a great city. I think it's my favorite city because I have friends here. Other cities I didn't necessarily have like close friends at Marcus and Serge.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there's a Kendama scene you're just implanting yourself into. That's Copenhagen's beautiful. I've been lucky enough to go there a few times, and it's like there's not many nicer cities in the world I've been to.
Yeah, I'm really lucky that my wife is from there.
Yeah, dude, and you met her at college or?
I met her when I was traveling Europe after college. I went with my friend and we traveled a bunch of different cities around Europe. And then we went to Prague and I met her there. And then we started talking and then we ended up dating. And then she moved and I moved. So.
Dang. So she moved to America for you and now you moved to Europe for her. Yeah. That's just so cute. Wow. That's amazing, dude. That's so cool. Do you like it in Europe, like compared to America after a year of being there? Like, is it?
Yeah, I like it a ton. It's like a lot quieter. It's a lot chiller. I have no complaints. I've only been here for 6 months. I'm sure after 5 years, I'll be like, okay, get me out of here. But, it's really great so far. I love the people. And it's honestly just so nice that I have like close friends that I can hang out with and talk with. Because, I don't really have many close friends in college. They all, if I did, they all kind of went to different cities that I was going to live at. And all my friends are the Kanama community and they all live all over the place. But I'm so lucky that my wife happened to be from Denmark, where a lot of, prom dudes are from. So, there's we have a pretty good group chat of people playing, maybe like 10 or 20 active players. And then, me, Marcus, and Serge are playing a lot. Fred playing a lot. So, those are obviously really good players, top players that you can keep up with.
Yeah. That's super rad, dude. Cool. So you're in Copenhagen, and now as of October, you are full Lotus. So what does that mean? What did you do before that? Did you have another job?
Yeah, I was working in sales. I started in sales after college. I didn't know what to do. So I kind of went from different sales jobs that got me to DC. I ended up being in like an outside sales. So like traveling around in my car, listening to Dama Nerds, going to different appointments and stuff. And then I ended up like at a really good sales job, selling like medication for a rare disease. And it was like a really, really good full-time job. I love my boss, love my company, but then our contract ended because it's like a drug contract or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I think Lotus was at a point where I could really, I kind of want to give it like my full effort. And that's what I'm doing. So since around then, moved to Copenhagen last May, and I'm just trying my absolute best to make the minimum amount of money to be able to put food on the table because it's hard in the Kanama community to make even minimum wage, or not the community, but the Kanama industry, I guess.
Yeah.
Obviously, as no one is in the Kanama industry is driving Mercedes and living in like, big houses. It's tough, but I'm doing my passion,
You get to do what you love. That's the trade-off.
The happiest I've ever been working for anybody. It's because it is my passion. I love Kanama. I talk about it. I live it. I play it.
You talk about it, bro. Your podcasts are crazy. Like I can, my ADD gets me only so much through it because you guys are just intense with your analyzation of stuff. And like, I think I'm a Dom nerd. And then I listen to you talk to the Gallaghers and other people about Kendama. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, it almost goes over my head because you guys are so intricate with the things you're breaking down, where I don't think there's a lot of people who are looking that in depth at the science of things and at like why people are good at what they're good at and how they succeed. And like, there's just, it's hard to take something specific, but it's really, it's cool that like, there's a lot of podcasts about Kendama, but like yours is, it seems to be, you know, you're the extra Dama nerd. If you ask me, like, it's like you break down things in a way that are very cool. I love it.
Yeah, I appreciate the compliment. And I kind of use the podcast as an excuse to talk to like top players for 3 hours about what I want to talk about. I love the storylines of competition. I know I've always played sports growing up. I love, Kendama competition. I love analyzing form and how players do certain tricks.
Yeah.
Big interest of mine is, you know, what side are they throwing the tama on when they're doing like a tap? How are they controlling the string? I like this weekend at Battle, I was talking to other Dama dorks, like Ryan and Elliot and my brother, and we were analyzing my videos of like, I literally like at Keshin Fu, I went up to Takuya, I asked him to do a few tricks, and I just did it in slow mo just so I can like look at how he does it.
Dang.
And Ryoga as well. He just has such a unique style, unique form. And I love the way that they play. They make Kendama look so cool and so fun. And they are really making Kendama turn into a legitimate sport by the way that they play. Because I grew up as a basketball player, so I was always a three-point shooter. And I have family that were like big basketball coaches. And I honestly didn't grow in high school, or else I would have probably played basketball because I am competitor and I athletic as well. Like I suppose just playing sports with my dad.
Yeah.
But I didn't grow in high school, so I didn't try out for the team. And so I think I'm kind of getting out my competition desires, and I'm getting fulfilled through that, through Kendama. But I'm really like Kendama, I think it is, this is definitely a hot take, but I believe that it's one of the most difficult sports in the world. And I think it's one of the best sports that people can play because of its the amount of tricks that you can do. It's so not expensive to get into it versus like, you know, a basketball, you need a hoop, you need a ball, you need, you know, hockey, you need pads, everything.
Yeah.
You know, although it is, I don't want to take away from it being a hobby for some people, being for game for some people, like that's totally okay. It, you know, it is a skill toy from Japan, but I like to look at Kendama as a full-time sport with that can be, you know, you can be trained in it, like how Nick and Zach are doing. You can be, you can take it really seriously. Of course, you can't really compete full-time, which hopefully will change as
Kendama. And I think that's the only thing missing from your equation is just need more people, like period. More people allows more sponsors, which allows more players, which allows more registration. You know what I mean? Like all our sport is missing is more people who do it because with that, like we can do everything else that we all have in mind, but that's the single one thing that's holding us all back because we need to. And that's why we all need to spread Kendama as far as we can every single day. That's why First Spike matters so much, because you don't know which college kid at his dorm is going to show Isaac Turner or, you know, Zach Gallagher. Well, you know what I mean? And that's the true reality of our community is we are a small, tight-knit group. And if we really do want to be a big sport, if we want to be viewed by people like spike ball and like disc golf, like a real sport, we just need more people who care more about it, because then we can have more competitions and more bigger prize pools. Because that's like the thing that's missing from when we compare ourselves to pros. As pros, there's always a carrot at the end of the stick. And for Kendama players, it's mainly free Kendamas. And in a few times a year, it's some cash that's worth it. But you have to spend a lot of money to get to those places. And unless you have a sponsor that's making a lot of money, that's usually half on you. Or you know what I'm saying? So I have all the same visions for you, but I've realized along the way that it really starts with spreading Kendama, because without new players, like we our sport stays the same size it is, you know?
That's where I want to send you a lot of gratefulness because of Sweet and how much you worked on spreading Kendama. There's so many players. I mean, dude, there's so many players that would be in the game without you guys. That's something that I'm focusing on in 2024. Like not only working towards the community of making better shapes and cool designs, but if everybody did that, Kendama would die, you know?
So, yeah, exactly.
So it's awesome that you guys are the like number one people who are doing that. And that's, I'm inspired from that for me to get into schools over in Denmark.
Oh dude, that'd be so sick.
So it's because of you guys inspiring me to do that. And everybody needs to be doing the first bike stuff because that's how you grow sport. Exactly what you said.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, you got to teach someone how to play basketball, right? Like you don't just learn how to do it one day. And but yeah, I appreciate all the things you said because Target is the biggest thing for that in our world is people. So many people just don't have any idea what happens, and then the next day it's just a toy at the toy aisle, and someone plays like that because those are everywhere. And hopefully, that's over the years. I'm hoping that's really what can catch on with younger kids to be like this, you know, thing you get for a birthday eventually, you know. I hope we see it in the Olympics someday. I hope that, you know, prize pool are $20,000 for the winner of stuff. Like disc golf's been around since the 80s trying to do competitions. So it's 24 now. So, you know, we're 40 some years into disc golf and so people are signing 5-year contracts for hundreds of thousands of dollars and they're getting Adidas sponsorships and like it's a whole different world. But it was 40 years of really hard work by a lot of people to grow the thing. And I truly see that for Kendama, just like you in the future. But it's you and me and everyone in this chat right now who are the groundwork. Like we are the beginning 10 years of that first 40 that, you know, is going to help make Kendama be that big someday. So it's cool to have dudes like you out there with us helping make it happen, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. Kendamanomics. Kendamanomics. So you started Kendamanomics.
Yeah.
That is your app. Did you create it or did you have someone help you create it?
I created it and then I hired two developers who are not in Kendama, but they just develop stuff and they write code and stuff. So I'm close to two guys that I found and I designed everything and it's been like a baby of mine from like, I guess like 3 years ago now, from the original idea, which I got from like a mentor of mine in New York. I was playing cornhole and this guy, Eric, he actually made, what's that game? I always forget the name of it. When you roll a ball down the alley and it shoots up into one of the
ski ball.
If he sees this, he's going to like it. So he made ski ball like really popular. He added an electronic competitive system. He made a ranking system for ski ball. And then he has a bar in New York, in Brooklyn, New York, that got really popular. He has like awesome leagues. He's a really great guy. And he loved Kendama. I brought it in to play cornhole one day. And then he was just kind of giving me ideas of like, you know, how Kendama can grow and what Kendama needs and things like that. And then he mentioned ranking systems. He mentioned like, I think ranking system, and then that kind of got me an idea of doing a trick list. And I don't know if it was going to be an app originally, I think it was always going to maybe be an app, but I mean, his idea was just to like, okay, how good are you at Kendama? Like what's your level?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think the app kind of really turned into that. I mean, hopefully it'd be kind of cool for people to be like, oh, what are you at Kendamanomics? And then that kind of like gives you an idea of how, like what level you're at.
Yeah.
But right now it's just more of like this, like side thing, but regardless, I was like, yeah, this is amazing. So he kind of fueled me to start writing it out. And so I literally was just like writing and figuring out, you know, the best way to do it, figuring out ideas. And then it turned into, me spending a lot of money on developers and getting it going and then, making trick lists. And I printed out some like little trick lists to give to new people, and then, it's completely separate than Lotus. It's separate from Lotus. It's an independent thing, independent company. And it's,
why that? Why do you not want to give Lotus credit for that?
I want to focus Lotus on making kendamas and making designs. And I want to focus Kendamanomics on, it's a completely separate thing that just provides a like a progression system and a school board. I thought it'd be, I don't know, I just kind of wanted to separate those two things. And I think the economic community was at a place where I don't think it would have added a ton of benefit to have both. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like with this new ranking system for 365, they think a little differently. I don't know. I think it probably would have been fine either way, but that's just kind of the thought that I had.
Sure.
Yeah, because they are kind of two different projects, but yeah,
like you don't even have Lotus's logo on it or anything. Like you're taking, you're not pushing people to your website to buy kendamas if you love the app. Like nothing. Those are the things that like surprised me because, like, this is an idea Sweets has had for many years. But there, a lot of the things you said were like roadblocks that got in our way along the way that were like really difficult things in my head that stopped me and maybe the conversation a few times over. But like the number one thing and the number one question people have is like, are you watching all the tricks? Like how many users are there is a question I had, if you're willing to divulge how many people like actually utilize the app. But then are you the human who is okaying everyone's tricks?
So I set my alarm at 3 a.m. every day and
3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. I'm just joking. I don't watch all the tricks. The system that I do is relies a little bit on integrity, but I want to make this app so people have, like integrity themselves. What I typically will do is when there's a new player, I'll see what they're about and I'll see if they know what they're doing with Kendama, what tricks they're doing, what level they're at. And from there, I can get a good estimate. Like, you'd be surprised. I've, like, denied only, like, 10 or 15 tricks.
Like, what?
I go through a bunch of tricks. Almost every single one, it's a dude in their house just lacing. Having a trick as he normally should, he or she normally should. They're cut already. They're uploaded. I thought I was going to see way more, like, not Kendama tricks.
Yeah.
And I am surprised. Like, I'll see like a random name that's like, there's no way this guy's like real. And it's just like a French dude, just like lacing. French people have that weird
name. Yeah. Yeah.
But, it's incredible. Like, just, it's everybody just doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I'm like, oh, sick. Yeah. You just, this random dude just hit a double tray flip and I don't even know him. And
yeah.
Doesn't even like when I even have Instagram or whatever, but so that's like the one surprise.
Okay, so it's based on Kentegrity. Like in its essence, you are meant to be by playing by the rules as if we were in competition, like just out the gate. And are you so? One question, just because I never got anything declined. If you decline a trick, are you able to give someone notes as to why and like be like, hey.
There was like four reasons, like wrong trick, out of frame. There's a few more, I forget. But there's reasons of why it gets declined and they can re-upload. Want to say that when it comes to hard tricks, like there's crazy stilt tricks, I'll check those.
Yeah, you slow them down to make sure people are getting the right amount of flips and all those things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And most people are good, but when it comes, like, for example, if I see like Zach Gallagher post, and he hits like the big rover trick, like I'm going to give, the benefit of the doubt to Zach that he hit like most of those first fundamentals and I'll check those off.
Yeah.
You know, so like, okay, I'm sure I know Zach personally, like even if I don't necessarily know him, if he looks like a legitimate Kendama player, he's hitting really hard tricks. He's hitting double inner trays. I'm going to, maybe I'll check one or two, but like those first 60 to 100 tricks, like I'll check boards. Maybe I'll check like the beginning part of Tunbridge to make sure that they're going down the right route. Like, okay, everything is good. 100%. The rest are good.
Got you. Yeah.
But
yeah.
When it comes to like, you know, the top players on the leaderboard, like Dave Scher, for example, was like killing it. And I'm like checking the to make sure that they're good and they are good. He's
gone off, bro. How long has he been at number one now? Like, since he claimed it, right? Like, I don't think anyone's taken it.
No, literally. Like, yeah. And he's been hitting those tricks. People are asking me, like, how's Dave that good? Like, what happened? Like, where'd he come from? You know, because he was always around the scene, but he never was like hitting those crazy still barrels. But yeah, he's literally a beast.
He took a break. He took a long break from Kendama, I think, like a year or two. And then he came back and I think he found that he found some new shapes and he found like some new, I think that's all it takes maybe sometimes is like, holy, inward lunars are way easier with this Kendama, like actually insane.
So, that being said, I'm definitely not perfect. I'm human. There are times where I may have missed a trick or even somebody was like, yo, I actually ended up doing this trick wrong. Can you revoke it to make it count and like give points right? And I'm like, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. In the future, we're going to definitely make this easier on me because I do spend a significant amount of time, like I think like an hour a day checking tricks.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But I think I would love for the app to have like maybe more public videos where you can report it. A user can, like other people can report it if it's bad or good. And of course, we need a good reporting system that's like fair just because somebody doesn't like somebody else. They can't just report them all and you don't get points. Like, we'll figure that out. Like, we'll do that. But I think this year, it's not like on the top of the list. Like, we have other things on the top of the list, which I can share. But this year, hopefully, we can have maybe your newest tricks in your public profile. Of course, we're not going to like take all your tricks public right now and put them up there because mm-hmm. that would be like, you know, bad. But we'll let you guys know. We'll let all the users know when we'll be, you know, maybe making some of the tricks public and then able to report. If you see a trick that's not clean and not good, you can report it. And then it'll probably go to like me or like an admin that maybe I can have on board that will like recheck it. So that's a future solution.
Yeah, that's cool. That all sounds right on point. And what you're dealing with is it was the thing I was most afraid of. It's like, if it pops off, whose job is it to do this every day? Because I can't be on my phone more than I am a day. You know what I mean? Or doing all the other things. And that's what stopped me. So I'm glad that didn't stop you, and it's gone. The future, I think, is what a lot of you, I'm sure you get DMs every day about how to make it better and what could be added. What is there anything we can expect in the near future and maybe the later future of 2024 for Kendamanomics?
For sure, in the next few months, as you know, apps are expected to develop. I don't get any money for downloads. I don't get any money for users. I don't obviously sell the data. I've made zero money off the app so far. Mm-hmm. I want to be really open about that.
Yeah.
So I need to make money somehow to pay back the app. And I'm thinking instead of doing like, I don't want to say ads are not going to be there in the future. It depends on how other things work, but I really want to stay away from like pop-up ads because they're so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be really cool to give some extra value to players. And maybe they can pay a small fee, maybe $5, $10 for some certain premium tricks. So the initial idea was to have like certain influential players, like, you know, like Tom Pagin, for example. He's a really popular player on Instagram. He does his trick style is really unique. He plays for Seoul. So maybe he can do like, this is just an example. He could do like, you know, 120, a big trick list that represents his progression and his style.
Mm-hmm.
And he would put those on the list. He would put those on the app in a different section. And then you can, you know, like in the app, pay for it, get all the 120 tricks. It'll come with his videos that are unlisted on YouTube. And these won't count for points because I'm not doing pay for play.
Yeah.
Which I know people are like thinking right now. Like,
yeah, of course.
It's not going to count for points. This is going to help players progress with some unique tricks. If you're a big fan of Tom, you can help. Some money's going to be going to him. So you can help support Tom and you can help support the app. And that's the first thing that we're working on. Honestly, that's probably going to come out pretty soon.
Cool. Literally really Tom's. Cool.
Yeah, Tom is some person that I'm talking to.
Nice. Very
I'm
cool.
I'm really down for a lot of players. I think the more the merrier. Like, you know,
I want a JKA list. I want a JKA list.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That'd like, be so sick. So
cool. Yeah, to have that. Like, and also we're definitely gonna keep putting, you know, free tricks on. I'm working on a tap and juggle list. I'm actually talking to a top player, Ben Harold, right now, to help me out with that.
Oh, sick.
Because I want these to be, you know, crystal clear, objective. Like I know everything. I know a lot about Kendama, but I don't know everything. So
mm-hmm.
I'm making sure that these tricks are legit. And I think I've done a good job so far because I've worked really hard to make sure that these are advanced tricks. The names are right. I know I messed up a few times, but the names are right for the most part. The progression is right. I want to make sure the difficulty is like consistent throughout the system. So you don't have like one trick that like you need a few years to grind before you go out to complete it.
Yeah.
And there's probably a few of those down there already.
Yeah, yeah, I got a couple. Yeah. the stilts, like I've ran through most everything, but double inward stilt barrel is like my nemesis. I can't get it to spin twice, period. Like inward, it sucks.
I forget who hooked me up, but they were like, yeah, inward stilt
barrel. I hit up David Chur. I was like, yo, bro, what's the deal with this trick? And he's like, just throw it higher. And I was like, yeah. Okay.
Easy. Oh, boom, click, you know, done. Yeah,
easy. No, I really loved for me, like I said, it just opened up my eyes to like tray flips, period, is something I've been working on. And with this new shape, it's lunar honed. So I've only done inward lunar tray and a lunar tray. Those are the only two trays I've ever done in my whole life. That was the only two I'd ever felt the need to land. And I've done all of the trays now, backflip and regular on the app. And I didn't think that any of the backflips were even in my wheelhouse, like laser. All of these things were just blocks in my head that, because I'm competitive, your app pushed me through because and Twitch, you know, like me, it's a combination of making it live on Twitch where I don't have an out. I can't just go do something else. Like I have to entertain these people. So the grind is real for those minutes when I'm there. And I'd be lying if I said I'm not proud that I was like top 25 when I see all the other names that are on it. And it makes me feel less good when Johnny's like, yeah, I haven't like done any of the tricks I could do. I only did the hard ones. I was like, okay, whatever, dude. Like, so there's tons of people on the list who could be above me if they tried harder. But to your point, it's the mental attitude that like, yo, there is points for tricks. And regardless if you're 25 or 100, like Cody Booth, Magic Diamond dude in chat, he's been grinding really hard because he saw me doing it and he's like, well, I can do it. And then he's like, I'm going to get to 100. And then he got to 80 and he's like, well, now I can make it to 50. And then like, it's just personal goals. It's like 28 tricks later that doesn't stop kind of. And I hope people utilize it for 28 tricks later. If you're trying to do 28 tricks later and you don't know what trick to do, maybe go on the app and just scroll until you can't find one that you can do. And that's like the only thing you need to change in the app. Like, tomorrow. There's zero things I think that need to be changed tomorrow. But the only thing, every person asks me how to get to the next set of tricks. People do not intuitively know to swipe over. And me included, I thought I had to unlock it. Like I literally was like, oh, well, I'll wait till tomorrow to get the new tricks. And then someone in chat's like, you just got to swipe over, bud. And I was like,
sorry, guys, I'm going to put an arrow as soon as possible.
Yeah, no.
An arrow was good. Okay.
That's literally all you need. But that was, I didn't want to say anything else about the app because I love everything about it. Oh, the other thing. I'm sorry. There's two things. And so it's the swipe over. So people stop asking me about it. And then the favorite team. People want to be able to add way more sponsors to the people they love because a lot of people aren't sponsored by one crew, especially everyone in Twitch. They love, even if it's three or just not one, because then they feel bad that they're supporting one company like Stacy or Tim. They have Love Sweets, they're mods in the channel, but they have best friends around Kusa, and Jake Weens is their really good friend. So they'd love to support a couple other people. So it's less about like, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't think about it because for me, it was a really easy decision to pick which one. And then everyone else is like, I haven't even started using the app because I don't know which one to pick or something, because they don't want to make someone feel bad that they chose a different team or.
Okay. The arrow can happen as soon as possible. The support multiple companies, give me a little bit, but that's a really good point. I never thought about that. So thank you for the feedback. Hey,
you're very welcome. I get it from Twitch. I'm just really, I'm relaying their wants. That's all, dude. So that's the future, is more trickless. I think that's super dope. And I think there are many people, Don Dama, the second you said that, I was like, yo, let's go, Donless, I'm ready. Like, you could have some of the craziest, you could have people learning freestyle tricks. Like, you could have people like me who hate freestyle learning how to freestyle based on a list you put out. And I would pay for it. I think you should charge for the app. I mean, $1 I think it's worth $1. I think the work you put into it is worth $1 at very least. And you know how many users you have times $1 is more than zero. So I think even if everyone who's on it was grandfathered in, and then they are now all your spokesmen for anyone else who joins in the future who has to pay $1 saying it's worth it, I think it's it's just the provided value is there immediately. And I don't think it's going to deter people who are already into it and looking for that. You know, it's not a monthly thing. It's just a one-time unlock. But I think you should also have a donation button on it, too. That was the other idea I had is I don't know what page or in what settings are about, but you could put like a tips, you know, the app is free if it, I don't. But that's just another thing I thought, because you do need to make money eventually off of it, because like I would put a Sweets logo if I could click someone to my website to buy a Dama. I wouldn't tell you no if you asked me if it was worth the right price, because there are thousands of people looking at your app every day and they may or may not want a new Kendama. I think from the business, this is Business Suites talking, not the guy who wants to level up in Kendamanomics. It's the person who sees the hard work you put in and seeing the, like, people who love it aren't going to hate seeing a company, and the people who are new to it may actually click and it'll provide value for you and the community. So,
yeah, I appreciate that. I definitely have plans. You know, this is a really good list of Kendama players that I know companies like Sweets and Soul would love to advertise to. Mm-hmm. So I like that's on the list of things to do to get like, okay. Yeah. Maybe an ad for like, a web browser would be really annoying, but maybe it would be cool to like, you know, release, okay, this is the new Sweets drop. I think the trick lists, what do you think about that? Do you think, how much would you pay for a trick list from a player that you like? $5, $10, $10? Would you pay at all?
Apps, in my mind, an app that like I stop paying for apps at like, you know, $3 maybe is like, if I'm going to buy coins in a game that I really love, like $3 is maybe where I set my limit. Okay. But if something that's not going away and it's something you get way more value out of than just 20 coins that are gone in a game in a day, it's so much different because you're getting something that doesn't go away. It's a trick list and videos that you are proprietary to. So $5 sounds good to me, but I think $10 sounds good, but I'm talking about app world where it's like, maybe not, you know, like I could just stick with the tricks I have. But if it was $2.99, I'd buy Tom's tricks. I'd buy Ben's tricks. I'd buy whoever's tricks. But I think at $4.99, it's like, you got to be pretty serious about it, you know?
Okay.
But that's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go as far as I can. I need to pay back the app. I'm having a baby soon.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We need to have food on the table. So I know the community and everyone is hesitant to spend more money, but Kendama companies, I said earlier, we're not driving Maserati. We're just
Kia Sorentos over here, dude.
I don't have...
You don't have a car. You live in Copenhagen. You just need a bike.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, how far away is your kid? Sorry to...
April 7th. They're coming out.
Wow. Them? You have twins?
No, I just don't. We don't have a gender yet.
Okay. Cool. Them. Got it. That's cool. You're waiting.
It is good.
Yeah, that works too. You're going to be a Dama dad. Let's go, dude. Are you excited? Nervous?
So excited. It's been on my mind for a while. We kind of moved to Copenhagen to start a family. So
cool.
I don't think I'm nervous, but I'm sure it, you know, I have a friend that just had a kid and it's like, yeah, that like the day, it's like, holy shit. You know?
it's a lot to take on, but it's one of the best things in the world. And you will be great at it, I'm sure, dude. And the Dama dads are here for you. So if you need us, you just let us know, bro. We got a whole crew of us, you know? So we support each other always.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's very rad. So Kendamanomics, man, that sounds really cool. I'm very stoked on it. Lotus 2024, let's end with that before we ask just a couple questions. You've just released a new shape, I believe. Was that at the beginning of this year, at the new year?
Yeah, we have our first two pros. We don't have any pros. We have a team of like 9. And then Marcus and Franta. Marcus, you know, from Copenhagen.
Lander, yeah.
Marcus Lander. And then Franta, the first Lotus team member, who is just like my favorite player, the best player. He's so influential. Nice. So cool. He brought Kendama to Czech Republic. And there's so many kids playing Czech Republic because of him. They went pro for Lotus. They both got their own shapes, which are based on the element, but they are kind of fit in both their individual styles, and they're almost opposites in a way where mm-hmm. I use Marcus is more for taps and juggles, I use Francis more for stalls and like open tricks. So moving forward, we're definitely going to keep trying to innovate Kendama. We're going to be making sure that our quality is really high. We like the competition side of Kendama, so we want to make sure that we have really high quality products. We're also going to be spreading Kendama as much as we can. So if you see on the website, like not only stuff for the community, you might see like on the website, Kendama helps mental agility, you know, like coordination, like kind of like more advertising to the people who might be on for the first time. That's kind of a new step that we're doing because we need to spread Kendama. I mean, everyone needs to spread Kendama, and we need to do a better, Lotus needs to do a better job of that. We're going to be doing that this year because it's going to help Lotus. It's going to help everybody. And I think this year we're really focused on Kendama as it's played when it comes to seshing, hard, grinding, progressing. I think that's kind of our vision of this year is to really celebrate the players, celebrate everybody, but celebrate especially the players who are progressing and grinding. And I think that's like the most exciting part about Kendama for a lot of people. It's of course used as a stress reliever. When you want a little break, you use some Moshikame. That's super cool. But I think Kendama teaches you so much about yourself and the world when you use it as a tool that you can get frustrated with, but you learn something. And I think with frustration comes learning. With frustration comes enjoyment and fulfillment. I think that's the focus for this year. And then, yeah, just the typical stuff of hitting as many events as we can. Yeah. Hopefully Minnesota in September.
October. PKC,
October.
But hopefully, PKC, yes, that's the goal.
That's the goal, yeah. UKC type. We can get maybe Goya over to KWC. I know he's going to be traveling a lot this year.
As always.
Yep. So, yeah. That's the Lotus pen. I also have a giveaway. Is that cool to do?
Oh, yeah, dude. That'd be epic. Add it to the prize pool for all these crazy people in here today.
Yep. So I think we're sold out of these as of now, but this is a Lotus Element Ken. So this is our second shape. It was our newest shape up until Battle, then when we released the two new ones. But yep. This is the shape that we worked so hard on. It's really good at taps. It's good at stalls and lunars. It's a big, big update, and it's really different than the Sacred, that our first shape. This is a really, really good Kendama that is all-around balanced and should hit every need that you have as a Kendama player who wants to hit all these certain tricks. So we're giving away a Ken. So I don't know if what needs to happen when it comes to Chad and the hype train and stuff, but yes,
yeah. This is a Ken. We'll make it happen. I'll get the address at the end of the stream, and I'll just Discord it over to you so you can send it over. Dude, awesome. Thank you so much for joining the stream today, chatting with me about it. Sorry for the hiccup at the beginning, but it was super nice to talk to you. And I'm stoked for Lotus. I'm stoked for you being a Dama dad and being full Dama. I mean, those are very huge milestones. So it sounds like 2024 is going to be an epic year. And if Sweets can be involved in Kendamanomics or any other epic things this year, I saw your Soul collab. That was so sick, dude. Maybe we need to work something up before the year's over. That'd be sick.
Super down. Thank you, Matt. You're such a big inspiration to me and the community. So you make sure you remember that, know that. And thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, dude. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you next time, all right?
All right. Thanks.
All right. See peace you. Out.